May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me. Not once, but twice, Bartimaeus cried out asking for mercy from Jesus. The disciples and the large crowd tried to keep Bartimaeus in line, sternly ordering him to be quiet. But he used the strongest asset that he had, his voice. And he cried out louder the second time, Jesus, have mercy. And he did. Jesus, Son of David, had mercy and has mercy for us all. Mercy transforms. It's the compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone it is within your power to punish or harm. Christ's mercy transforms. That forgiveness, that forgiving generosity heals, enlivening, miraculous change that awakens us with hope from nightmares, real and imagined. That forgiving generosity allows us to see when the way is dim, allows us to get up and walk the way, however that translates specifically into our lives. Now, we are here in this church because some way, somehow, in ways great or small, in some ways that are humble and some that have been fantastic, we have known that mercy of Jesus in our lives. And Christ's generosity of mercy in our gospel today transformed a crowd of naysayers who said to Bartimaeus, be silent, into a supportive action. Where they were saying, get up. They were encouraging to get up and get close to Jesus. Christ's generosity of mercy transformed a blind beggar into a visionary, clear-eyed enough to throw off his cloak and follow Jesus on the way of truth and life. That mercy, that generosity, that transformation is available to us still today. We know we still need it, no matter how much we've received. And hopefully, we want others to receive it as well. Jesus, have mercy now. Give us some vision. A lighthearted scenario. Maybe you've been in this situation at one point or another. Not sure which side, but have you ever been asked at the end of a meal, are you going to finish that? The that being the last bite of something delicious on your plate. The person asking is usually a confidant, a spouse, a close friend who has the audacity and the comfort level to ask. This happened to me just the other day at the end of a lunch where we all had a piece of chocolate for dessert. Now, I had been talking so much, shocker, that I had not gotten to that chocolate, but it wasn't because I wasn't going to eat it. One of my two lunch companions, there were three of us, asked me if I was going to eat it. And then luckily, the third person pointed out that there was still chocolate on the asker's plate. Unseen, a welcome surprise. They'd only eaten half of theirs. And while that kept me from the dilemma of having to share or not, it made me think about seeing. How can we refocus to truly see what we have right here in front of us? Job faithful before, during, and after his trials, said to God, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. May we have eyes to see that we are not finished yet, that there is more than we realized. So we're part of a church, both locally and nationally speaking, that has, I believe, held up light in the obscurity of fear and violence this past week. In some small way, helping to transform a terrible news whirlwind with some good news, some news of transformation. And I'll just mention one example. 20 years ago, Matthew Shepard, a young man who was a student at the University of Wyoming, was beaten and left to die, the victim of a hate crime. His parents feared that the same hate that led to that vile act would lead the same kind of folks to vandalize his grave. So for 20 years, they kept his ashes hidden in their home out of fear that he would be hurt again. Now, Matthew, as I said, had been active in his Episcopal church because he felt included there. So this past week, this young victim of hate was laid to rest in the National Episcopal Cathedral in Washington, D.C. He was laid to rest with the words, "Gently rest in this place. You are safe now. Matthew, welcome home." He was laid to rest with other notable figures, such as President Woodrow Wilson, Navy Admiral George Dewey, Helen Keller and her teacher Anne Sullivan. There will be young people from all across the country having tours here and being educated here, said Bishop Marianne Buddy. When they pass, they will see a plaque in his honor. They will see that this is a church that has learned from the example of violence that we need to stand and be counted as among those who work for justice and the full embrace of all God's children. Locally, this year our youth group has visited places of worship of other religions to learn about the faith of those other religions, and therefore to understand our own better. We are not afraid of learning from and about others. In our tradition as Christians, as Episcopalians, we value respect for others who do not think and believe as we do. We celebrate diversity. We do not hate difference. We evangelize by sharing our faith, inviting, not condemning, others into belief, into community, to receive that transformative mercy that Jesus has in abundance. After yesterday's tragedy at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, this seemingly small educational commitment takes on added significance. Ecumenical, loving churches such as ours are needed now more than ever in a world with so much fear. This past year, after Hurricane Harvey and 3 years in a row of major flooding, traumatic natural events here, we have had a lot of changes at Trinity. My friend Paul Fromberg wrote a book called The Art of Transformation, in which he says that churches need three things for transformation to be an ongoing part of their faithful witness. They need beauty, social engagement, and friendship. And we here at Trinity, we have all three. We have beauty, we have social engagement, we have friendships, but I think that our eyes have grown a little weary, our vision a little blurred, like when you're tired. We don't see who's here. We see a little bit of scarcity. Our beautiful, engaged, relational mission positively impacts our parishioners, our neighbors, our families and friends in ongoing waves of grace and mercy. And we pray, I pray, that our wearied eyes may be open to that vision and truth again. We feed the hungry, nourishing community with food and prayer. We generate hope by being an inclusive, courageous, and kind community. We love one another, calling forth gifts and resources for supporting and showing up for each other, stranger and friend. We hold things in common, strengthening our spirituality of friendship and transforming generosity. We build both structures and community by being good stewards of something we hold as valuable, our Trinity. And we envision being servants of all, unafraid of going to the margins where the most need is found. Just one example of that is how we rallied to support the two asylum-seeking families who were fleeing violence in El Salvador. And unplanned, in an emergency, the generosity that flowed out was incredible. So this is kickoff Sunday of our annual giving campaign. And I want to reflect a little bit about why I give to Trinity. I give to Trinity not because I have so much to spare or because I feel obligated. Although, side note, whatever works for you. But I give to Trinity because I value the positive impact we have on people's lives, the healing that goes on here when we live into our mission. I value the faith found and nurtured here, even when people move on. I value the history, the art, the outreach, the beauty, the friendships. I even value the struggles, which call out from me the best, that call me out of my complacency. I value the struggles. I value the light we shine here, brightening the places of shadow in the lives of both strangers and members. I love this community. So for this year, 2018, we had a drop in pledge giving, which has made some of us feel a bit like blind Bartimaeus before he called out to Jesus, "Have mercy, have mercy." It has blinded us to what is here. And so today we're calling out, I am calling out, all of us who have planned this kickoff and this giving campaign are calling out for transformation, for mercy, for courage, for healing, for vision to see more clearly the value of our life together, to see that bit of chocolate still on your plate, to see that we are not finished yet by any means, and that there is more to give than we realized. And we call out for this transformation that we may walk with Christ in abundant trust, proclaiming mercy, scattering fear. We are here because we have known in some way, great or small, humble and fantastic, the mercy of Christ in our lives. We know that Christ's generosity transformed a blind beggar into a visionary and transformed a naysaying crowd into a people of action, calling Bartimaeus to take heart. Jesus is calling you. May we continue to both receive and make known that healing grace of abundant mercy. Amen.